Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us here online. And today, I want to encourage you to go grab your Bible if you have one handy. Have one for yourself, or have one to share with your family or whoever you're watching this with. Make sure you pour yourself a bowl of Captain Crunch. And we're going to really dive into a passage today. But really, we've been in this series called Now What? What do you do when you don't know what to do? There are going to be times in life where you don't know what to do. And whether you're in that season right now where there's some area where you don't know what to do, I promise you at some point you're going to find yourself there. So what I want to do is I want to help prepare you for the next time you get there with today's message. A few weeks ago, we encouraged you to always practice the habit of stopping and asking, what is the wise thing to do? That question is a powerful question. Anytime you stop and ask that question, what is the wise thing to do? It helps your mind and your life and those around you to start looking for the wise thing to do. But just by practicing stopping and then asking the question, it helps you reset. It helps you not react, but to intentionally respond. So you always want to stop and ask, what's the wise thing to do? And to prepare you for those moments where you don't know what to do, and to prepare you for those moments where you're going to ask that question, what is the wise thing to do? Today, I want to focus on helping you grow in wisdom. How do you grow in wisdom? How can you seek to always seek to grow wiser? There's this ability that we have to always be learning and always be growing. Seniors that are graduating from whether it be high school or college, or if you're graduating, don't stop learning. Some of the most successful people in life are lifelong learners. And it's one thing to be acquiring knowledge. It's another thing to be acquiring wisdom. So let me ask you, for whoever you are, what is your wisdom acquisition strategy? How will you grow wiser? Proverbs 9:9 says this, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still, even more wise. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. See, we have the ability, we are created with this ability to always be growing wiser. So the question is, how will you do that? One of the things I've learned in life is there's really two ways you can do that, through either whoops or aha. Whoops is like you make a mistake, something happens, and you learn from it. And that's the thing, if something has gone wrong in your life, if you've made a bad choice in your life, you can learn from that. There's always a lesson to be learned. But sometimes they're painful lessons. When I was in high school, I got a car. It was an Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. And that was my first car. And one thing I did not understand about cars is the concept of oil and how oil in the engine works. And I never checked my oil. I never changed the oil. Eventually, at some point, the oil ran out of my car and it did bad things to the engine. Whoops. Turns out, you need to make sure you're paying attention to the oil in the engine. I learned a valuable lesson through whoops. I learned it the hard way. However, in that season of my life, I had two grandfathers. One of them taught auto shop his whole teaching career. The other was a master mechanic for General Motors and Oldsmobile. I had two people in my life that I could have said, hey, teach me how to take care of my car. And I could have learned through the aha, through the discovery. You're going to acquire wisdom. You're going to learn in life either through accidents and mistakes or intentional discovery. Seek out wisdom. Don't learn lessons the hard way. Learn them through seeking out and seeking to be growing wiser. And again, just to clarify, wisdom is not information. It's not knowledge. Wisdom means knowledge applied. It's not how much you know, it's how you live. And so today, we want to talk about how do you grow in wisdom? What's your wisdom acquisition strategy? And I want to tell you one of my life principles that I live by that came out of reading in the Bible. And if you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 24. This month at Live Oak, we're doing a reading plan called A Proverb a Day, where there's 31 days in May, and so there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. So whatever day of the month it is, today's May 24th, we would read Proverbs 24. Tomorrow is Proverbs 25. May 25th, so you'd read Proverbs 25. I've done that a lot in my life where I'll just, on a day with a month with 31 days, I'll read a proverb a day. Well, one time in my life when I was doing that, I read Proverbs 24. And there's a part of that chapter that I saw lived out in my life in real time. I was like, this thing I just read, I'm seeing it lived out right now. Proverbs 24, verses 30 and following says this. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. So basically, the guy who's writing this in Proverbs, this wise person, is out for a walk. And he walks past a neighbor's house. And what he saw in his yard was there were weeds everywhere. There were thorns everywhere. The fence was a mess. But this wasn't just somebody's house and lawn. It says this was their vineyard. This was probably their business of growing grapes, and that's how they made a living. And suddenly it was in ruins. It was a mess. So imagine this guy's out on a walk and he's looking at all the lawns and saying, oh, that's nice, that's nice. Oh, we should have that to our house. Or, oh, I wish my lawn looked like that. And then he comes up to this house that's in ruins. I've got this plant here. It's a dead plant, which obviously what happens to almost any plant that's under my keeping. And so this plant is dead. This represents this guy's lawn, this guy's vineyard that he's walking past. And it's dead. There's nothing good about it. It's dying. Imagine most people when they walk past that guy's yard and they looked at the dead vineyard, the dead lawn, the dead plant. I bet most people when they walked by, some people may not have noticed, and maybe even think about this. What would you do if you're walking through your neighborhood and all of a sudden you walk past the lawn and it's dead, there's weeds everywhere, thorns, and everything's just in shambles. Please don't walk past my lawn, by the way. Like if you were walking past someone's yard that was like that, what would you do? Would you have noticed? Would you have laughed? Would you have shaken your head? Would you have told somebody, hey, look at that guy's lawn, it's a mess, that's terrible. Would you have rolled your eyes? Would you have written a letter to complain, to say, hey, fix your lawn? Like, there's a lot of ways you could react to this. And I remember one time in real life, this was happening in my neighborhood. And I've told this story before. Like, I was out walking my dog, and down at the end of our block, there was a house, and the grass was almost up to my knees. There were weeds everywhere. The yard was a mess, and there was a ton of junk piled in the yard. It looked awful. It actually looked like a haunted house or a deserted house, but somebody actually lived there. And I came to call him Boo Radley. It's the character from the book To Kill a Mockingbird, and it's a mysterious character in the book, and I never really saw this guy, but when I did, he was often getting things, and he liked to collect old TVs, and he would wheel them down in a cart, and he would just pile them up in his yard, these old discarded appliances and TVs, and the yard was a mess, and I remember just kind of walking past and shaking my head and wondering about it, and eventually people started complaining. And at one point, some reporters came over to do a story on this guy's house and how it was kind of getting out of hand, and the city wanted him to clean it up, and he wasn't doing it. They brought this big industrial-sized dumpster. They wanted him to clean it up. And I had a friend who was a reporter and a cameraman for one of the TV stations. He said, hey, would you be willing to talk about this situation going in your neighborhood? About, are you concerned about what this is doing to the property value in your neighborhood? I said, sure, I'll do that. And I had this great line. And he said, okay, go. And I said, you know what? Instead of working about the property value, I said, of course I'm worried about the property value. But I think we should probably be more concerned about the value of this life of someone who's probably struggling, clearly struggling. That's what we should be concerned about. It was a great line, and I got it on camera. I watched it on the news that night, and they edited it. They cut it off, and so all it said was, of course I'm concerned about our property values. Cut, and it cut it off. So I looked like a jerk. But anyway, all that to say this, I'm going past Boo Radley's house at the end of our street, and I'm seeing this lived out. His yard was a mess. I think his life was a mess. I think he was struggling. Most people, when they walk past that vineyard in Proverbs 24, I bet they shook their head, they laughed, they didn't get it. But this guy in Proverbs 24, when he walked past Brew Radley's house, when he walked past the vineyard and saw the dead plant, the dead yard, the vineyard that was a mess, he did something differently. And there's a lesson in this for us. It's a great way to live. He lived differently. Proverbs 24:32. He looked at it, he said, I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. Most people probably laughed. They ignored it. They complained about it. They rolled their eyes. They gossiped about it. This guy did something different, and it helped him grow wiser still. He grew in wisdom because of it. He observed what he saw. He observed, he learned, and he applied it to his life. And I've called this in my life the look, learn, and live principle. If you just live this way, instead of walking past people's lives and shaking your head or laughing or ignoring it, if you looked, if you learned, and you applied it and lived differently, how different would your life be? The look, learn, and live principle basically is this. Learn from everything and everyone. Everything and everyone has a lesson for you to look at, to learn, and apply. You can be intentional about this, but you can also ignore this and miss an opportunity to grow in wisdom. You know, some of the wisest people I know are wise because they live this way. They learn. They're constantly seeking learning. In history, some of the great leaders have practiced this. Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers of our country, had what he called the five-hour rule. Benjamin Franklin actually dropped out of school as a 10-year-old. Don't get any ideas, Gracia. Don't get any idea, kids. Like he dropped out of school as a 10-year-old and started just working as an apprentice with his dad. But the thing is, Benjamin Franklin never stopped learning. He read. He talked to people. He thought. He journaled. He did experiments. And his thing called the five-hour rule is he would give 5 hours a week, 1 hour every weekday, to just growing in wisdom, to reading, reflecting, journaling, experimenting, testing things out, asking questions. 5 hours a week. And some of the leaders that are really respected in the world today that are considered to be innovators, creative, and growing in wisdom and helping grow things and businesses and organizations and nonprofits, they live by this five-hour rule. They read a ton to learn. They ask questions. They look at their own life and say, what could I learn from this? What could I learn from the whoops, I made a mistake, or what could I learn from the aha by discovery? I encourage you to live. You don't have to live by the five-hour rule like Benjamin Franklin did, but you'd be pretty wise if you did. You'd be growing in wisdom. Do something this week to be wiser still. Read something. Watch a documentary. Listen to a podcast. Find someone you consider wise and sit down with them and ask them questions. One of the things I regularly do, if I see someone that I think is a leader, even if there's someone that's famous that I think will never say yes, I'll send them an email, a text, something on Twitter and say, hey, I see you to be a pretty impressive leader and you're really good at leading in this area. Could I buy you a cup of coffee and ask you some questions about leadership? And I do that because I'd like to be wiser still. I don't always get a lot of responses, but sometimes I do. And I'll always take an advantage to learn from somebody. And honestly, one of the best things you can do to be wiser still is make time this week to read and reflect on God's word. Read and reflect on Scripture. Again, the Bible's not a book. It's a library. There's 66 different books, Old Testament and New Testament, two different sections. There's books of wisdom. There's books of history. There's books about Jesus and about the first Christ followers. There's letters to the church to help them live out their faith. There are all these things in there, but I promise you, when you read, reflect, and apply Scripture, you will be wiser still. So one way just to apply this look, learn, and live principle is very simple. In every situation, ask two questions. First, look and learn. What can I learn from this? Look at your own life. Something goes well, ask what can I learn from this? If something goes poorly, ask what can I learn from this? If you look at someone's life and you see that something is dying, dead, or it's a mistake, ask, what can you learn from this? If you look at someone's life and it's thriving, ask, what can I learn from this? When you read a book, when you listen to a podcast, when you're, you know, in church, when you're reading the Bible, anything, ask, what can I learn from this? And then don't stop there. The second question, how will I apply what I have learned? See, wisdom is not knowledge that's just held inside. It's wisdom, it's knowledge applied. It's lived out. How will I apply what I've learned? One of the ways that I've tried to look, learn, and live is I attend events where I know that it'll help me grow wiser. The Global Leadership Summit is something I attend every year and I'm deeply involved in because the impact it's had on me, had on my church, it's had on our community, it's had on our nation, it's had on the world. It's developed leaders all over the world. And the Global Leadership Summit has been something where I can learn from other leaders to help me grow in my leadership. Reading books. Right now, I'm trying to read two or three different books at the same time. They're all books that I think will help me become wiser still. Although I'll admit sometimes I like to read Ian Fleming, James Bond novels just because I like to kind of shut my mind down for a while. But most of what I read, it's not for entertainment. It's to be wiser still. Listen to podcasts. Meet one-on-one with somebody. Do something to grow wiser still. How will you seek to look, learn, and live this week? What's one thing you could do? And as you talk about living it out, one of the questions you always want to be asking is, am I applying what I'm learning? Is there output from the input? Am I living any differently based on what I'm reading, seeing, and learning? We don't need more knowledge. We need more application and obedience. Remember, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. Application is everything. And wisdom, it's not just what you know, it's how you live. So this guy walks past the field of the sluggard. He sees a lawn that's dead, a vineyard that's dead. It's a mess. He stops. He looks. He learns. And this is how he lives differently. This was his takeaway. It's a very clear and concise statement. He lived differently because of it. Here's what his lesson, verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. That's in Proverbs twice. That's a lesson that this guy learned multiple ways, or at least he articulated multiple ways. It's also in Proverbs 6. And he looks at the guy's house and he goes, what's the lesson here? And it wasn't about lawn care. It was a bigger principle that he learned. And the big takeaway for him, the principle he learned was, it's the danger of neglect. The danger of neglect. That's what he learned. He looked and he learned the danger of neglect and he applied it to his life. And he said, there's something true about our life that you will not just drift into a healthy life. You will not drift into success. You will not drift into a better life, a better marriage, a better business, a better school, better GPA, a better life. If you neglect, it will drift in an unhealthy direction. This is not just a truth about vineyards and lawn care. This is a truth that has implications in many areas of our life. And let me tell you a big area. There's implications in this for your spiritual life. If you've been neglecting your spiritual life, you will not drift into a thriving faith. Psalm 1, turn just a little bit to the left. It's the book of Psalms. At the very beginning of Psalms, the biggest, longest book of the Bible, is Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, it's a wisdom psalm. It tells you how to be wiser still, how to live a growing and thriving life. And Psalm 1 says this, blessed. Is that something you want to describe your life? Blessed. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Okay, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Pay attention to who you spend time with. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Be careful about who you spend time with. He says, blessed is the person who does not spend time with people who are neglecting their life. Instead, he says, but blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day or night. He says, look, if you neglect your spiritual life, it'll end up like this. It'll end up like the field of the sluggard. Your heart, your faith, your life will drift south if you neglect your faith. But if you pay attention to growing your faith, it's different. Verse 3, he says, that person who meditates, who thinks on God's wisdom day or night, who lives, looks at it, lives it out, applies it to their life, the person who fills their mind with godly truth and lives it out, that person, verse 3, is like, this is what they're like. They're not like this. It's like the tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Neglect your faith, it dies. It withers. It struggles. Pay attention to your faith by paying attention to who you spend time with. Spend time with wise and godly people, like we said a couple weeks ago. And what you do with God's wisdom and living it out in your life, taking it in and making sure there's output and application. When you do that, he said, it's like a tree that no matter the weather, it thrives. It's green. It yields fruit. It stands up in a storm. It stands up in difficulty. And it's always healthy. Proverbs 4:23 says it this way, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not about that thing that pumps blood in your chest. It's the center, the core of who you are that drives you. It's your will. It's your hopes, your dreams, your goals, your determination. It's that center of who you are, where if you turn inward and turn selfish, your heart kind of turns inward and it ends up like this plant. But if you focus upward and outward, it thrives. And God gives us this warning in the book of Proverbs. Guard your heart. Beware of the input of what impacts you. Because everything you're going to do is going to flow from that. See, the other area, the danger of neglect can happen in other areas of your life as well. It can happen in your relational world. Your relationships. Think of all the relationships in your life. Like I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a friend, I'm an employer, I'm an employee, I'm a pastor. I do these different things. And I think about all the relationships in my life. If I let those drift, they will not drift to a healthy place. They'll drift to an unhealthy place. If I think about my finances, if I don't pay attention to what I'm spending, paying bills, my savings, I will not drift into a healthy financial world. I'll probably financially struggle. My physical health, if I don't pay attention to my physical health, I will not grow into a thriving physical life. I'll struggle, I'll develop health problems. My mental world, if I'm not paying attention to my learning and my mental health and making sure I'm being attentive to that, it will not drift there. Think about your life at your job or your life at school, or your life in your family, wherever in life, wherever you have it, if you let things drift, they will not drift to a good place. If you let your lawn, your yard just go and grow and pay no attention to it, never water it, never weed, never mow, you will not win yard of the month, lawn of the month. Things that drift never drift to a good place. Be intentional. Proverbs 24:32, he said, I learned the danger of neglect. I applied my heart to what I observed. He looked, he learned, and he learned a lesson from what he saw, and he applied it to his life. Look, learn, and live. Look, like seek out wisdom. Learn, be teachable. How receptive are you when life or somebody tries to teach you something? Learn, be teachable, and then live, apply it out. And here's the big truth. You will not drift into being at your best in life. Do not let any area of your life drift or coast. Be teachable. Relentlessly seek out wisdom and strive to build a faith that thrives, a life that thrives, a family that thrives. You will not drift into being the best you that God created you to be. You have to be intentional. Because he is very intentional with you. And this is the great bonus feature. Hey, the thing we talked about today, This could apply to anybody. Even if you didn't believe in God, you could use this principle of look, learn, and live. There have been lots of leaders and lots of individuals throughout life who lived this way, and they grew very smart. They grew wise. They were innovators. They were creative. They were leaders. They were did different things in government, in education, in life, in business. But there's a bonus feature for you if you're a follower of Jesus that can take this to a whole nother level. This principle of look, learn, live is something that anybody could utilize to grow in wisdom. But for you as a follower of Jesus, there's an added feature. As you look, learn, and live, as you look and you're trying to acquire wisdom, as you're learning and being teachable, as you're living and applying it to your life, you have the Holy Spirit with you and living His life in you and through you as you do that. It's like anytime you read a book by somebody, like right now I'm reading a book about Winston Churchill. It's almost as if even though he's died, Winston Churchill is my mentor. I'm learning from his life. And anytime you read a book from somebody, even if they're not with you, they're mentoring you through the wisdom they're passing on. But when you do life, recognizing that God is with you, He is mentoring you in real time. He's with you. One of the greatest promises of the Bible, we try to say it as often we can, we can't say it enough. The greatest promise in the Bible, the most frequently given promise in the Bible is, I will be with you. When you give your life to Jesus, He gives His life to you and lives His life in you and through you through His Holy Spirit. So as you're looking, learning, and living, the Holy Spirit's with you saying, pay attention to this. Or learn from this, be teachable, don't resist this. Or, hey, live this out. Put it into practice. You have a bonus feature. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. You have the surprise inside, God's Holy Spirit. And what I want to ask you to do, because that's true, if you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to stop for a minute and think about the danger of neglect, this principle that the wise person learned in Proverbs 24. When he stopped and looked at somebody else's lawn, he learned something about the danger of neglect. I want to ask you to stop for a minute and look at your lawn, the lawn of your life for a minute. Don't go out and look in your yard. Look at your heart. Look at your faith. And when you look at your life and how you're growing or not growing or what's happening in your life spiritually, I want to ask you a question about what's on the fruit of the trees of your life for a minute. What's being produced or what isn't being produced? And here's the way I want to ask this question. Ask this to yourself. When I look at the fruit of my life, do I see the fruit of me or the fruit of Christ in me? Let me say that again. When I look at the fruit of my life, do I see the fruit of me or the fruit of Christ in me? Because again, Jesus promised that He would be in you, that He'd live His life in you and through you, that when you give your life to Jesus, He gives His life to you, and you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He will be actively working your life to change your heart, to give you a new heart, to grow your faith. As that's happening, is what's being produced in your life, is it just the fruit of you? Or do you see the fingerprints and the fruit of God working in you and through you? Because that's what He said He would do. Galatians 5, verses 22 and following says this. This is what the fruit of Christ in you looks like. Love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are those things being produced in your life? When you look to God's Word, when you let God's Holy Spirit live in you and through you and help that truth sink deep into your life, to take root in your life and be lived out in your life, and as He lives His life in you and through you, His fruit will be produced in you. That's His promise. So look for it. And He says, against these things, there is no law. This isn't just about doing right or wrong. This is about God's Spirit producing this in you, but it requires your cooperation and participation. And here's the key to how you have the fruit of Him or the fruit of you versus the fruit of Christ in you. This is what makes the difference. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, I hope that's you, have crucified the flesh. They've died to self. It's no longer them who lives, it's Christ who lives in them. It's not about them. They are not the center of their lives anymore. Jesus is the center of their life. They have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. My heart belonging to Jesus, where it means it's no longer my hopes and dreams. It's his hopes and dreams. And when I die to self and give him control, here's what we discover. The things I want most in life is what he wants to produce in my life. Love. Everybody wants to find love. Joy. Some people will settle for happiness. God wants us to give us something better with joy, peace. So many people are trying to live a more peaceful life. The three things we want most in life, Jesus says, that's what I want to produce first in your life. But it starts with surrendering your life. When you look at your life, do you see the fruit of me or the fruit of Christ in me? Look at your life. Ask God to help you understand that. And understand that the most important place you can apply your wisdom, what is the wise thing to do? It's to surrender your life to Jesus. Say, my life is yours. Because the promises he makes about what your life would look like, what he's going to do in your life and through your life, it's too good to pass up. You can't get there on your own. Well, today what we've talked about, we've looked at this principle of look, learn, and live. Again, the question I want you to always ask is this. What is the wise thing to do? Try and ask that question frequently this week. Again, it's not just the question itself, but stopping to ask the question helps you reset to potentially make a better choice and not just react. Stop and ask, what is the wise thing to do? The second thing, always seek to be growing wiser, to increase your wisdom. And finally, apply this look, learn, and live principle. How will you look this week? How will you seek out wisdom? Go read a book. Listen to a podcast. Find someone you think that is wise and godly and say, could I have an hour of your time? Could I have 30 minutes of your time? Could I buy you a cup of coffee? Could I buy you a Coke? Could I buy you a bowl of Captain Crunch? Could I spend some time with you? Just ask you some questions. Look, how will you seek out wisdom? Learn, will you be teachable and take it in? Not just learn it and know it, but learn it to live it. And then how will you live it? How will you apply it to your life? How will you do that this week? If you don't have a plan, it's probably not going to happen. Put it on your calendar. Put it on your to-do list. Put it as a priority. Seek to look, learn, and live this week. And pay attention. When the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, as you're walking past this guy's yard, stop and look for a minute. There's a lesson here for you. And the lesson isn't complain to your homeowners association to have him fix his lawn. The lesson's more about your life, how you can live differently.